man, I feel like a midget up here. Like a little kid. I look up, can't see up over the pulpit.
Live from Buffalo Street, from Scott Coffey, Pastor Livingston Baptist Church.
Well, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and deliver what the Lord has laid on my heart. I will say this, it's not going to be anything that anybody hasn't heard. Not going to be anything that Livingstone Missionary Baptist Church hasn't heard. My wife and I were talking the other day, and I said, you know, Brother Ross, you may have this same thing. I feel like I've preached this before. I feel like I feel like I've preached this not too long. Of course, I'm 47 years old, getting ready to be 48, and I'm losing my mind even at that age. And so I do well to remember my own name from day to day. But anyway, she said, well, you know what? She said, if you've preached it or not, if that's what the Lord's laying on your heart, you better preach it. That means somebody needs to hear it again or somebody hasn't heard it. And so that's what we're going to do. I thought about this hymn, stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss from victory unto victory. I love that. Love that. His army shall He lead till every foe is vanquished. Christ is Lord. And I thought about that. I have given that great thought here, especially in these last days that we're living in. It's not that it's not always been a matter that God's people ought to stand. But folks, I'm just going to tell you something. If you look at the world around us tonight, it is time we take a stand. Brother mentioned that the Lord would remove all these crazy things that are going on in the world. I mentioned this at Livingstone this morning. Folks, there is an enemy that is putting an army together right now to come against God's people. You can bank on it. I said this morning. I truly believe that if things don't turn around in Washington, that the first target's going to be the Lord's churches. They're going to try to shut the doors. Folks, and as I thought about this, I thought about how, you know, it's going to be time for us to take a stand. Are we going to take the stand? I made mention of this, and I'm sorry, Livingstone, but this has come to my mind. If they were to come through the doors right now and tell us, stop what you're doing, are we going to stop? Or are we going to make them drag us out? You know, maybe a hard pill to swallow. But what I want us to understand is people don't realize just how close that is.
Amen.
It's right around the corner. It's knocking at the door even now as we speak. Wicked people in high places trying to come against the Lord's churches. But as I was thinking about this, I consider Paul. Man, we've been in Romans on Wednesday night. And what a wonderful example of a soldier of the cross to look at. And Paul himself. Folks, he was a wonderful soldier for the cross. He was a faithful soldier of the cross. And if there was any example that we could follow, it would be his. But before we get into that, I thought about this old song. And I don't know how many of you have ever heard it before or not. But it is, Are We Soldiers of the Cross? It says, Are we soldiers of the cross, followers of the Lamb? And shall we fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must we be carried into the skies on peaceful beds of ease? On peaceful beds of ease while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. Now we must fight if we would reign. Increase our courage, Lord. We'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy Word. The saints in all the glorious wars shall conquer, though they slain. They see the triumph from afar and shall with Jesus reign. When that illustrious day shall rise and all the armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be Thine. Are we soldiers of the cross tonight? Are we followers of the Lamb? So that's what I want us to look at. I want us to look at Paul as an example of that tonight. There's 4 points I want to try to quickly share with you. Number one, the career of a soldier. Number two, looking back on the life of a soldier. Number three, things that a soldier must face. And number four, the crown that awaits. And I feel like I've just got done preaching this. Maybe at our church, I don't know. I guess the Lord works in mysterious ways. But anyway, if you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this evening to start with. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, familiar portions of Scripture, not anybody's not heard before. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to begin reading in verse 6. Paul says this, he says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I'm going to read that again. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love His appearing. Now as we look at the career of Paul, I want us to compare Paul's life as a soldier to ours as a soldier. You know, we as God's people have been called to be soldiers of the cross. We've been called to be followers of the Lamb. We've been given a race to run and a fight to fight. The question is, are we going to be faithful, and let me say that, to remain and continue being faithful in what God has given us to do? You know, the Lord set a course up in front of Paul. You know, I can think about it. I can remember a day that we read of in Scripture that Paul, which was Saul, hated Christians, was set out to kill them, had letters in his very hands that day on the road to Damascus to have Christians put to death. But God changed that man that day. It was a 360 degree turnaround. He went from hating Christians and killing Christians to being one. And let me explain something to you, and I love this because it was almost instantaneously that when the Lord saved him, he went to work. He truly was a soldier of the cross. His greatest desire, and I love this, if you look at that, there at what he's telling them at Rome, in the beginning of the book of Romans, his desire was to come and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. His desire was to see souls saved. Why? Because he understood what it meant. The Lord had changed that man in an instant. And he became one of the greatest soldiers of the cross there is in the Bible. I'm not saying that there's not many more in there. But I just look at Paul and I see how what he went through. And we're going to look at that just in a moment. The things that he faced in his fight for the Lord. And yet he continued to fight. Yet he continued to keep on. Paul had said this. He said, soldiers did not entangle themselves with the affairs and the things of this world, for if one did, they could not please the Master. And I want us to understand that and hear that tonight. And here's why. Because I believe that too many of the Lord's people in the world today have gotten themselves tangled up in the affairs and the things of this world. I don't know, maybe some of us, I found myself entangled in some of the things in the affairs of this world before. Folks, if we're entangled in the things, in the affairs and the things of this world, it's hard for us to please the Master. It's hard for us to fight the fight. Why? Because we're always worrying about those things, about those affairs. He said this. Someone said this to me once before. Oh, I can't talk either. He said, if you're too busy for the things of the Lord, you're too busy. Amen. That has stuck with me since that day. Since the day that man told me that, he said, son, if you're too busy for the things of the Lord, you're too busy. You need to rearrange some things. Folks, that's what Paul was trying to emphasize when he said what he said about being mixed up in the affairs or the things of this world. Paul also said this, that a good soldier of the cross must learn to endure hard things and hardships. And if there ever was an example of that, it was Paul. Oh, the things he endured for the cause of Christ. He was shipwrecked 3 times. I'm going to think about these things for just a moment. When he began his ministry, his friends and families, they turned from him. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was imprisoned often. He was stoned and left for dead. He was beaten with many, many stripes. He even said it, if you want to turn over there with me real quick to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says this in verse 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? He says, I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in the stripes, above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Yeah, that's what I see. And I'm satisfied he faced more. Folks, just what we've read right here is enough to bring a man to his knees. I don't know, folks. There may be a day when we have to face some of these things.
And I think we very seriously need to consider that. I think we don't need to take it as a joke. I think we need to very seriously consider that at any moment we could have to face some of these things. But if there's one thing that Paul could say in all of this was that the Lord stood by him and never left him. He was right there with him. And that's why he said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress. He says, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He did all those things for Christ's sake. I believe that a lot of times we face even the smallest trials that we face, and we can't do it for Christ's sake because we're too worried about what's going to happen to us. Folks, we got to stop worrying about what this world is going to do to us. I said this morning. Folks, they can do everything they want to do to this fleshly body, but they can't touch this new creature, the creature that Christ has created. Have you ever faced sufferings for Christ? Or anything for Christ, for that matter? Any trials, any hardships? Have you ever made any sacrifices for Christ? Paul made sacrifices. He did, and he calls us tonight to do so. Make sacrifices necessary to serve the Lord. Be ready at any moment when the wolf knocks at the door to take a stand. I love when he taught on the whole armor of God. He said, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. That means don't ever stop. Even when you think you don't have 1 ounce of energy left in you to stand, you stand. Because I said this morning too. You know, I've heard people say this, and I've even said it in times past, and I don't want to get way off the subject here, but we always hear people say, I don't know what would happen. I don't know how I would handle things if these things were to come to pass upon me. And I thought about this the other day. Folks, if the time ever comes that we have to face these things, the Lord will strengthen us to handle them. You don't have to. I don't think we have to worry about how we'll handle them, because I think if the Lord sees fit to allow them to come upon us, He'll give us what we need to endure. Are we willing to endure? Look with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. Very familiar scripture, and I'm going to read it again. But Romans chapter 12, and I believe that's fully why he said what he said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, folks, Paul's life was marked with the highest of loyalty to his king, the highest of loyalty to his commander-in-chief is ours. Is ours? Is our career as a soldier of the cross like Paul's? Can you look back at your life, which we're going to look at here just in a moment, and say, I fought the good fight, regardless of how old you are, if you're a child of God, from this point backwards, can you look and say, hey, I fought the good fight? If not, start now. And if you have, then keep on keeping on. Don't ever back down. Which brings me to my next point. I look back at the soldier's life. Paul looked back on his life as we saw in the beginning, and he said these words. He said, I fought the good fight. I fought the good fight. He said that he did not fight against flesh and blood, but against the very host of Satan. And let me tell you something, folks. That is a battle that we as God's people are fighting right now and will continue to fight. And that battle will not end this side of glory. We will fight it until the day we leave this earth. The problem with it is a lot of people have laid down and quit the fight. They have been, listen folks, I have family members, and this really bothers me, family members and friends that are starting to succumb to the things that they're hearing being passed down from those people in those high offices. Well, maybe they're right. Maybe we ought to do that. Hogwash! Folks, our God is in control of everything. And as long as we're faithful and keep serving the Lord, He'll protect us from all of that stuff. I can, you know, Brother John Lybrook, and I know I said this to Livingstone, I can only hope that my conviction is this strong. He said this to me the other day. He said, I will not shut the church doors again. I will not. He said, we will continue to serve the Lord. Folks, I hope that we have that desire in our hearts tonight. But as we look at this, at Paul's life, as we look back on his life as a soldier, he said that he didn't fight against flesh and blood, but that he fought against the spiritual wickedness in high places. That he fought against the very host of Satan. And as we look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, he said, the spirit is willing, but
but the flesh is weak. Paul understood that even in that battle against those spiritual things and against those wicked things, that his flesh was part of that battle. Now, I know it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but folks, let's just be honest about it. This old flesh is still bent to sin. And even Paul knew that it was a daily battle, that he had to keep his flesh in check. And I fear that our flesh keeps us more oftentimes than not from fighting the good fight. Our flesh keeps us from serving the Lord as we ought to serve the Lord. We must understand this. We must understand that our flesh is something that needs to be kept in check, that we fight against on a daily basis. Look with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 7. Flip over a couple of pages. To Romans chapter 7. I want to look at verses 14 through 21. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, and sold under sin." Folks, this is Paul speaking. He says, "For..." I got to move this up. I'm getting old. I can't read. He says, "For that which I do allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Folks, do you understand this is Paul that we're talking about? A good soldier of the cross. We have looked at all the things that he's endured and how he kept on fighting. He's admitting to this. He says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Verse 20. "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And he says this, verse 21. I love this verse. He says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Folks, we as God's people and the Lord's churches, we set out to do good, evil is present. We set out to do the work of the Lord, you might as well go ahead and bank on it, evil is present. Paul knew that. He understood that. But oh, how he kept fighting, even against his own flesh, because he wanted to be the soldier of the cross that the Lord wanted him to be. Look with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 56 says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God." Now this is Paul giving us the information that we need to be able to overcome the flesh. He said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul said the only way to overcome the flesh is through Jesus Christ. The only way to overcome the flesh is to seek God for the strength that we need to overcome it. But I'm afraid that we have become so comfortably numb with our flesh, that we've become so comfortable in our flesh, that we don't seek God for the strength to overcome it. I get so tired of hearing people say, "Well, I'm saved, God's going to forgive me, no big deal." It is a big deal, because it hinders us from serving the Lord. It hinders us from fighting the fight. It hinders us from running the race that God has set before us. The only way to overcome it is through Jesus. Paul knew that, and that's why he said that. We're just like this. There's evil to the front, to the back, to the left, and to the right. Folks, not just outside these doors, but it's with us everywhere we go as individuals. Always trying to hinder us, always trying to shut us down, always trying to destroy us, destroy our testimonies, destroy our walk and work for the Lord. That's what its desire is to shut God's people down. And there's a bigger push now, I believe, than there ever has been. And you want me to tell you why I believe that? Keep looking up and you'll see. Just keep watching, you'll see. Because I believe that at any moment, the Lord could step out on the clouds and call us to come up hither. Amen. I truly do believe that. And I believe that's why there's so great an evil working in the world today that you're seeing right now, because they know the time is short. But we as God's people have to keep continuing on in the things of the Lord. We are to continue on and overcome those temptations and sins and trials that we face in this life. But now, Paul didn't only have to fight against the flesh. He had to fight against enemies of the gospel. We have to fight against enemies of the gospel. The enemies of the gospel, understand this, are alive and well today. They are alive and well today, and we as God's people cannot lay down. We cannot quit. We must take a stand. Look with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We see that today. And he says this, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." I'm not going to go through the whole armor of God, but the point that I want to make that I mentioned again is Paul says, listen, we wrestle against these things. We fight against these things. Take unto you the whole armor of God, and then when you've done all to stand, stand therefore. Don't stop. Don't back down. Don't quit. Don't look around you and let the things of this world and the things of Satan or even your own flesh steal your fight or your joy. Folks, it should be a joy for us to say, I want to stand and fight for the things that are right. It should be a joy in our heart to say, I want to do the things that the Lord would have that are right. I want to fight against the wickedness and the evil of this world so that the Lord's light might shine through. I wonder sometimes where our joy is at. It's almost like, ho-hum, here we go again. And it can't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Let me ask you a question. This is not my question. I actually saw this, but I want to ask it because I thought it was good. He says, have you ever seen anyone who had a great influence for God who did not have to put God first, fight a fight, struggle with things, and make sure that God was first and foremost in their life? No. No. I can answer that question real quick. No. Folks, we can't have an influence for God when we do these things. We can't have an influence for God when we're not willing to stand and willing to fight. Fight the temptation. Face forward, this man said, and follow God all the way. That's the only way that we're going to fight a good fight. That's the only way that we're going to run a good race. At the end of Paul's journey, at the end of his way, he said, I have fought a good fight. You know, folks, no matter how old we are, no matter what stage of life you're in, if we would be faithful to the Lord and do the things that He would have for us to do, we too could say this at the end of our way. I just wonder if we're concerned about it. He says this, he goes on to say, I finished my course. I said this a minute ago, but I'm going to say it again. The Lord put a course in front of Paul, and He's put a course in front of every single individual in here today. And He has entrusted us, and this has been on my heart for so long now, that word entrusted. He's trusted us with the very Word of God. Wrap your head around that. Vile, wicked people who don't deserve anything that God would give them. He's entrusted us with the Word of God. He's entrusted us with the work that He's given us to do. And He's given us a work to do. Let me tell you something, the church, it's not just the pastor's responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility to do the work that the Lord has given them to do. Because just because you're sitting in the pew of a church doesn't mean you don't have a work to do. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Go invite somebody to church. Amen. Don't let the world hinder you. Don't let the world shut you down. People are so worried about what somebody's going to say or what somebody's going to do if you go up and say, hey, do you know Jesus? I'm afraid somebody might throw rocks at me. Do you know who the Lord is? Let me invite you to come to church. And then even bigger than that, somebody says, where do you go to church? Well, I go to Livingstone Missionary Baptist. Nah, don't want no part of it. Why? Because let me tell you something. The Lord's true churches, the Baptist churches that He has, we hold the truth and don't nobody want none of it. But that doesn't mean that we're to quit. Keep on keeping on. Don't let off. Don't let off. Are we going to keep on keeping on? Are we going to continue to fight the fight? You know, I thought about this. Knowing that we could finish our course in the manner that God would have for us to. Knowing that we could be able to say, one day I have fought the good fight. Let me ask you something. Do you get up in the morning? And this was one of the main reasons that the Lord led me to start the devotion that we're doing in the mornings. Because we ought to start our day with God. We ought to ask God, Lord, before we ever even walk out of the house, what will you have for me today? But the question is, do we ever ask, Lord, what will you have for me today? Okay, I'll do it. Lord, where would you have for me to go today? Okay, I'll go. And Lord, I don't know if I want to do that or not. I don't know if I want to go there or not. I don't know if I want to talk to that person or not. No, it can't be that way. We have to keep on. We have to do the things that God, which brings me to my next point. What things soldiers must face in life. Folks, if it's not already obvious, we as God's people are going to have to face some things in our life here on this earth. My goodness, look at what Paul faced. He faced many things. Paul said that his time had come. He was sentenced to death. We know we've already looked at the fact that he had been shipwrecked, that he had been beaten, stoned, left for dead, and on and on. Paul's life wasn't easy. Of course, I don't know who all these people are that say, well, if you're a saved child of God, your life's going to be easy. They ain't read too much of God's Word because we're told just the opposite. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a bed of roses. And Paul's wasn't either. But he kept on fighting nonetheless. And the question that stands is why? Why? Number one, he knew the reward that faced him. I just want you to think about these things for a moment. Number two, he fought on because he knows Jesus saves. One of the reasons that Paul fought as hard as he did was because he knew Jesus saves. Folks, I told you that was his biggest desire. Look at back at the first chapter of Romans. He said, my desire is to come unto you and preach the gospel. That's what he wanted to do. Paul preached the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't back off nor slack off any at all. That was his desire because he knew that Jesus was still in the business of saving souls. And so he fought whatever it took, come what may, to make sure that the gospel went forth. Folks, I wonder what has happened today with the Lord's people that they don't want to make sure that the gospel goes forward, because there are a lot of people who claim to be the Lord's that don't want the gospel to go forward. They want something other than the gospel to go forward. Folks, Jesus is still in the business of saving souls today. I believe if he wasn't, we'd then be gone. And so knowing that, because I have lost people in my family, some of my kids are still lost, I have lost friends. I know that you do in your family. So because of that and knowing that, and listen folks, Paul, the Lord saved us just like He saved Paul, those who know the Lord as your Lord, Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you understand why it's so important for the gospel to go forward. Is it a desire of yours to see it go forward? Paul kept on fighting. He didn't stop. That being one of the greatest reasons. This is the reason that it should, as it should be, for us to keep on fighting, is to see the gospel to go forward at all costs. And folks, it may cost some things. It may cost us quite a bit. It may even cost us our lives. Somebody asked me here not too long ago, is it worth it? Every ounce of it. Every ounce of it. Folks, there were some years that I would have told you no. But it was all because of my wickedness and ignorance. Seeing things the way I see them now, every ounce of it. Because I know that I am a child of God. And I know that one day the Lord is going to return and take me home to be with Him. And I'm going to be there forever and ever throughout all of eternity, praising and worshiping the One who shed His precious blood for me. So yeah, it's worth every ounce of it. Worth every ounce of it. Not to mention the fact that it's worth every ounce of it to know that there's a hope that the Lord may see fit to save my lost children. May see fit to save my friends that I know that are lost. Is it worth it to you tonight? Let me ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Paul preached the gospel. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He preached repentance. Folks, Jesus Christ did come to this earth and die. He did come shed His precious blood on behalf of the sins of His people. And if you don't know Him tonight, let me tell you something. Hell is real. And just like I talked about this morning, it's not a fairy tale. If you don't know the Lord, when the day comes that we're taken from off this earth, you will open your eyes into an eternal hell, just like the rich man in the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Repent tonight. That's my message. Repent. Fall on your face before the Lord and confess your sins and ask Him to forgive you and save you. Beg for mercy and grace. The Bible says that if you'll believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, thou shalt be saved. Repent and believe tonight. As my brother has said several times, and I'll use it from now on, if you can believe, believe. But for those of us who are soldiers of the cross, as we face our journey, As we face our battle in this life, we will face many things. We'll face hard times. Folks, I'm even going to say we'll face persecutions to certain degrees. Can I tell you that I already have in some way? There are people that I have known for a long time that are coming against me because of what I believe and because of the truths that I stand on, that are ridiculing me, that are trying to push me to get me to go other directions. We have to stand. We have to stand. We may face death even, as I said a minute ago, as Paul did. The question is, are we going to let these things stop our fight? Are we going to let these things stop our living for the Lord? It's just, that's the reason why Paul said what he said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Because he knows this. He knows the trials and the heartaches that we're going to face. He faced them too. And we have seen what Paul faced, or at least part of it. We've seen the trials and the enemies and the battles that Paul had to go through. And if ever there was a good example of a good soldier of the cross who understood the grace of God and understood what it meant to fight, to cause the gospel to go forward, to work, to cause the gospel to go forward, it was Paul. I only wish that at the end of my life I could look back and say that I fought as hard as he did. I'm not saying that we can be exactly like Paul. But we can sure strive to. We can sure strive to fight the fight. Because you see, Paul was striving to be Christ-like, and that's all we can do is strive to be Christ-like. I'm not saying that we'll even face the same things that Paul faced, but it's very possible. It's very possible. Do we really desire? And I want you to ask yourself this question right now. Do you really desire? Because I said in the beginning that right now in this world that we live in, there need to be great soldiers for the cross. Folks, there need to be great men and women for God in this world today. And is it your desire to be one of those great soldiers, one of those great men and women for God in this world right now? It should be. It should be. It'll take hard work. It'll take sacrifice. It may even take suffering some things. It may even cost us family, friends, even more our own lives. But in the end of it all, having done all to stand therefore. Don't let it knock you down. Don't let it destroy you. Paul said, he says, the time of my departure is at hand. As I thought about that, folks, one day the time of our departure will be at hand. The time of our departure will be at hand. Think of all the things that we as God's people have to gain when that time comes. I mean, I've thought about this. I know, or at least I hope, that all of our desire is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, to see Him face to face, to be able to gain the fellowship with Him. We're going to lose all the things in this world that ail us. What a joy it is. But right now, we have been left on this earth to fight a fight and run a race. I don't know about you, but I want the time of my departure is at hand. I want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I wanted to hear, "I'm proud of you because of the work that you did for me, because of the fight that you fought for me." I want to hear that. Do you? I thought about this. We'll gain freedom from this world, but we'll not only gain freedom from this world, we'll gain fellowship with our Lord. We'll gain eternal life in heaven. We'll gain a home in heaven. As I thought about that, I thought about the hymn that I read part of this morning, a tent or a cottage. Why should I care? He's building a mansion for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still shall I sing, all glory to God, I'm a child of the King. Knowing these things, are we going to continue to be children of the King and fight the fight that He would have for us to fight no matter what we face here on this earth? This ought to give us courage and strength, hearing these things that Paul is telling us. It ought to give us courage and strength to hear that portion of that hymn there as children of God, to continue on in the fight, to keep on keeping on. Not to lay down and quit, not to let those things that are around us steal our joy. Amen. Think about this for just a moment. Christ didn't lay down and quit on Paul. He didn't lay down and quit on you. Why should we lay down and quit on Him? Which brings me to my last point. The crown that awaits the soldier of the cross. Paul was beheaded. And even though I may not understand or know all the events that took place that day, Paul was sentenced to death and he was taken to the place where he was going to be beheaded. And I'm satisfied that he saw everything around him. I'm satisfied that he saw every little bitty step of the way. He may have even seen the chopping block. He may have even seen what they were going to use to take his head from off his body. But can I tell you that Paul saw beyond that? Paul didn't see those things that day. What Paul saw was Jesus Christ waiting for him, standing and waiting for him with something in his hand. What was it? That crown of righteousness that we read about a moment ago. Let's look back over there. Was it 2 Timothy? I think that's where I was at. My place here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said there in verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Folks, Paul didn't see any of the things that was going on. Paul saw Jesus Christ waiting with that crown of righteousness in His hand, waiting to receive Him home, waiting to receive another soldier into the halls of heaven. Forgotten to Paul, and I want you to think about this for just a moment. Forgotten to Paul were all the hardships that he faced. Forgotten to Paul were all the stripes that he received, all the days and nights that he spent in prison, the shipwrecks that he endured, the abuses that he endured, the tears and the blood that he had shed. Because what he saw waiting for him made up for every bit of it. Christ waiting on him to come home. That crown of righteousness, as I said a second ago. That home waiting for that soldier of the cross. Let me ask you something today. Are you facing hardships and trials in your life? Temptation coming upon you sore? Friends and family forsaking you because you have decided to follow and serve the Lord? I have had that. I've had that. We can't let Satan in this world get us down from serving God. We can't let Satan in this world steal our joy. It's in these times that we must bear up, pray for one another, encourage one another, lift one another up. Let each other know that going through this fight, if we look to our left or to our right or to our front or our back, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are willing to stand and fight the fight just as we are. Look what Paul says. In verse 8 again, he says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that, but unto all them also that love His appearing." The one thing that I love about this is Paul didn't say that that crown of righteousness was for only him. I'm getting ready to hush. He didn't say that that crown of righteousness was only for him. He says, "But unto all them also that love His appearing." Those of us that are faithful, those of us that can't wait to see the Lord return so we can go home to be with Him, those of us who are standing, those of us who are being steadfast in the truths and the doctrines and the things that God has given us to be steadfast on. And so I have to close with what I opened with. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead. Till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Can you stand today, child of God? Muster up every ounce of energy that you have. Pull out all the stops and stand and fight the good fight that God would have for us to fight. So that when He returns, when the time of our departure is at hand, we truly can say, "I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith, I've run the race, and we'll hear, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" Stand up, soldiers. Fight the good fight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this evening, Lord. I want to thank You for an opportunity that You've given me to be able to come and to deliver this Word that You've laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that You've emptied me and used me as an instrument to cause Your Word to go forth. Lord, now I pray that You'll do with it what You will. I pray that You'll touch hearts. I pray that You'll open eyes.
Lord, I pray that You'll cause us to see that there truly is a battle raging on around us that we are right in the middle of. Lord, and it's time for us to stand. Lord, it's time for us to be steadfast and unmovable in the things that You have given us to be steadfast in. Lord, to continue the fight. To continue to run the race in a manner that would be pleasing unto You. Lord, so that at the end of our way we might be able to say, we fought the good fight, we kept the faith, that we will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, that we might continue on to cause the gospel to go forth, that we might see souls saved. Lord, I pray that if there be any among us that are lost tonight, Lord, that You would just prick their heart. Lord, break that shell that's around their heart and cause them, their eyes to be open, that they might see that they are in need of You as their Lord and Savior, that they might cry out unto You for mercy, forgiveness, and You might save them and make them Your own, that we can all rejoice in the fact that one has come to know You as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray tonight that You go with each and every one of us as we walk outside of these doors. Lord, that as we go through this life, You would give us the strength to be great soldiers for the cross, great men and women for God in this wicked and vile and dark world that we live in. Lord, forgive each and every one of us for our shortcomings and our failures, as we often have them. Give us the strength and the courage we need to be able to overcome those things that we face. Give us the strength and the courage that we may be able to endure and stand against all these things that the people, wicked people in high places, are wanting and desiring to bring against us. Lord, there are many that have been mentioned that need prayer here and also at our church. The one that has lost a loved one tonight, Brother Sexton, Lord, I just pray that You would be with that family, Lord, that You would lift them up, Lord, that You would keep Your protective hedge about them, Lord, that You would uphold them with Your everlasting arms as You promised that You would, that You would comfort them, Lord, in only the way that You can. Lord, for others that may be ill or have need, Father, we just pray that You would fill those needs according to Your will and purpose, Lord. Not our will, but Thine be done. And that's all we can ask. Lord, go with us now. Let everything that we say and do in this life be honoring and glorifying unto You and You alone. And we ask all these things this evening in Your precious and holy name. And amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Scott. Appreciate that. Bless you. What a word.